Hey everyone. So again, I'm really happy to be with y'all. I came across this little one page thing called Love 2.0. And I'd like to share it with you. So this is a conversation between someone from tech support and between tech support and a customer. Okay? Tech support says, "Yes, ma'am, how can we help you?" Customer says, "Well, after much consideration, I've decided to install Love. Can you guide me through the process?" Tech support says, "Yes, I can. Are you ready to proceed?" Customer says, "Well, I'm not very technical, but I think I'm ready. What do I do first?" Tech support says, "The first step is to open up your heart. Have you located your heart, ma'am?" She says, "Yes, but there are several other programs running now. Is it okay to install Love while they're running?" "What programs are running, ma'am?" "Let's see. I have past hurt, low self-esteem, grudge, resentment running right now." Tech support says, "No problem. Love will gradually erase past hurt from your current operating system. It will remain in your permanent memory, but it will no longer disrupt other programs. Love will eventually override low self-esteem with a module of its own called high self-esteem. However, if you have to completely turn off grudge and resentment, those programs prevent love from being properly installed. Can you turn those off, ma'am?" Customer says, "I don't know how to turn them off. Can you tell me?" Tech support says, "With pleasure. Go to your start menu and invoke forgiveness. Do this as many times as necessary until grudge and resentment are completely erased." Customer says, "Okay, done. Love started installing itself. Is that normal?" Tech support says, "Yes, but remember that you only have the base program. You need to begin connecting with other hearts in order to get the upgrades." Customer says, "Oops, I have an error message already. It says, 'Error program not run on external components.' What should I do?" Tech support says, "Don't worry, ma'am. It means the love program is set up to run on internal hearts, but has only yet been run on your heart. In non-technical terms, it means you have to love yourself before you can love others." The customer says, "So what do I do?" Tech support says, "Can you pull down self-acceptance, then click on the following: forgive self, realize your worth, and acknowledge your limitations?" Customer says, "Okay, done." Tech support says, "Now, copy them to the My Heart directory. The system will overwrite any conflicting files and begin patching faulty programming. Also, you need to delete verbose self-criticism from all directories and empty your recycling bin to make sure it is completely gone and never comes back." Customer says, "Got it. Hey, my heart is filling up with new files. Smile is playing on my monitor, and peace and contentment are copying themselves all over my heart. Is this normal?" Tech support says, "Sometimes. For others, it takes a while, but eventually everything gets downloaded at the proper time. So Love is installed and running. One more thing before we hang up. Love is freeware. Be sure to give it and its various modules to everyone you meet. They will in turn share it with others and return some cool modules back to you." Customer says, "I promise I can do just that." That's a little corny, I know, but I liked it. And so, speaking of love, I wanted to spend this evening just investigating all the different sort of facets of love, all the different ways in which love manifests. And this is a little, of a sort of, new, different way of investigating and talking about what are known as the Brahma Viharas, the four divine abodes. Brahma Vihara. So Brahma is the name of a god, and Vihara is dwelling place. And so these are mental sort of godly dwelling places that we are asked to sort of cultivate the ability to dwell in. And so there's four Brahma Viharas. And first we have loving kindness. It's just essential sort of wishing well for all others. Forget the sort of loving part if you need to, and just goodwill, wishing other people's goodwill. Sometimes metta, when we translate it as loving kindness, that loving part kind of sometimes becomes a difficulty in wrapping our hearts around, wrapping our understanding around this concept, because it is not like the sort of Western sort of love that we're used to talking about. This is a sort of agape sort of love, a wishing well regardless of conditions, right? And the second Brahma Vihara is compassion. The third is appreciative joy, mudita. And the fourth Brahma Vihara is equanimity. And the Pali term for that is upekkha. And so we're going to look at each one. And we're going to look at the definition and the function of each, as well as different sort of mental, emotional states that often get confused for these Brahma Viharas. And so it'll all come around and it all makes sense, but I'm just offering just a general overview of what our discussion and topic is going to be. So before we get into it, let's sit for just a little bit. Thank you. So like always, at the start, I offer what's known as a body sweep. Just going through the various parts of the body, softening, relaxing the body as much as we can. And doing so with a sense of investigation and curiosity of this connection of a calm body allows for a calm mind. So softening the muscles of the forehead. Allowing the eyebrows, eyelids to be heavy. Softening the cheeks and jaw, tongue. Allowing the shoulders to fall away from the ears, be pulled down by gravity. Relaxing anywhere we can in the shoulders. Noticing the subtle shift in the shoulder blades with each inhalation and exhalation, allowing the body to move just the way it wants to. Softening our heart center, the chest, allowing our chest to expand and contract. And moving down to the stomach, seeing how much we can soften the muscles of the belly. Relaxing the belly as much as possible, allowing it to rise and fall with each breath. So often we go about our day-to-day business with a million different types of worry and stress. And quite often we hold it all in this tight, tense stomach. Notice if there's any shift in the sort of mental state. As we soften the belly. And so wherever you notice the breath the most easily, whether it be the tip of the nostrils, the back of the throat, the expansion, contraction of the chest, wherever you notice the breath the best, bring your attention there. And as the body breathes, allow your attention to be there with the breath, simply observing the physical sensations of what it is to breathe this breath. Throughout the course of this sitting practice, if we ever notice that the mind gets lost in story, whether we are repeating some edited story of the past or playing out some fantasy unknown story of the future, use this breath as an anchor, coming back home, coming back to this present moment experience. The Buddha once said something to the effect of there is no one more worthy and deserving of your love than yourself. Science tells us that we truly are truly part of the cosmos, and that atoms in our left hand came from a star that blew up. Atoms in our right hand probably came from a whole different star that blew up. So I offer you some traditional phrases of goodwill, meta phrases. And just notice how willing the heart is to receive, accept, believe these statements. I am worthy of feeling loved and cared for. I deserve to feel safe and secure. I deserve happiness. May I feel loved and cared for. I deserve to feel safe and secure. I deserve to know happiness, and I deserve to know freedom from all types of suffering. And as you hear this last phrase, as you hear it, please hear it as though you are offering this sentiment to yourself. I love you. Keep going. That feels like a really tall order. Feel free to change the wording to maybe something like, I love you as much as I can right now. Keep going. And again, noticing this deep continuum of the body and the mind, heart. Notice if the heart shifts at all. If as you hear the phrase this last time, you do so with a huge, stupid, silly, huge grin across your face. Even if you have to force it. So, smiling wide and silly. smiling as wide as we can. I love you. Keep going. One more time, even wider. I love you. Keep going. So that was a very quick metta practice. And I realized that at least my experience has been quick metta sits. Are more difficult for me to really kind of open up and feel this sort of self-appreciation than it is when I sit for longer and I have more time to sort of prep my heart. And for the first few years of my metta practice, it was just extremely robotic. It was going through the motions. It was telling myself I deserved things that I definitely did not feel as though I deserved. For me, the opening to metta practice for myself, wishing well for myself, what opened the door to that for me was actually forgiveness practice. Forgiveness practice touched into a sort of some held truth that I, you know, some story that was present for me that sort of just rang a little bit truer, or it rang it touched home a little bit more. I had to acknowledge the difficulties that my heart has gone through. I had to acknowledge how much pain I've caused myself, how much pain I've caused others before I could just sort of wish well for myself. Little to my surprise, my understanding now is really there is no difference between metta practice and forgiveness practice. And so that might be a little confusing, and we have to define what forgiveness is. to be able to have that conversation then. In the Dharma, we practice forgiveness for ourselves, not for the benefit of anyone else. The decision to forgive is us saying, I no longer want to bear the burden of holding on to this anger, holding on to these unpleasant negative emotions, and so I'm letting them go for my well-being, having nothing to do with labeling what someone else did as either okay or not okay, having nothing to do with labeling what I in the past have done as either okay or not okay. In forgiveness practice, there is a necessary line that we have to draw, marking the difference between the actions and the actor. And that I can see myself, even at the worst of my using, as a scared little boy. That little child is who I am offering forgiveness to. There are some actions that we come across, what that we have been the victim of or we have done. Some actions I offer are not forgivable and don't waste time trying to understand how some horrific actions could be considered forgivable. And through continued meditative investigation, we can see that hurt people. And that hurt person is potentially worthy of forgiveness. I can let go of my hatred, my anger toward that person, while standing firm and unbending in my acknowledgement that those actions were unacceptable. And that in forgiveness practice, we're allowed to investigate unconditional love, not unconditional relationships. I welcome you in my heart, and you are not welcome in my life. So I would argue that forgiveness practice is what happens when love comes into contact with a broken heart, a wounded wounded child. So we have metta, we have compassion, and we have appreciative joy, mudita. Compassion is what occurs when metta comes into contact with suffering. That love then turns and sort of morphs into compassion. Not to be confused with sympathy. Compassion, I would argue, is sometimes feels like it's quite a revolutionary it is a very daring place to allow our hearts to go to. Because to touch into compassion, we have to allow our hearts to feel the hurt of whoever we are having compassion for. And so our capacity to be with the unpleasant is directly proportional to how much we can show up to others with compassion. If you've ever gone through a sort of a difficult time and you might have experienced sort of being around friends who just knew that you were going through a difficult time and just wanted to chit chat and wouldn't stop talking your ear off, or they would want to have like, you know, a list of like to-dos to like get your mind away from whatever was, you know, hurting your heart. And in times of real hurt, to me, those people they're draining, and they drain me real quickly. The people who I want to be around, the way I want others to show up compassionately for me, is just to sit by my side and not have to make me feel anything other than I am, and just be able to bear witness to what I'm going through and to say, I'm right here. Just sort of be witness to my heartache. When our own heart's capacity to hold discomfort is not fully matured or matured enough for whatever situation we find ourselves in, we run into feeling pity for another. And pity is what's known as the near enemy of compassion. So it is what sort of what feels like compassion, but it is quite different. It's what compassion gets confused with sometimes. The opposite of compassion then and being sort of cruelty. But looking into this idea of what a near enemy to these Brahma Viharas are, for me has been a really huge area of growth. When I feel sort of drained toward the end of the week and someone comes to me with a deep problem, feeling pity toward that person is can be confused with feeling compassion, is a really useful sort of piece of knowledge for me, so that I have a marker so that I can find out where my heart is, how opened is my heart, how am I aligned toward this present moment. Now with metta, wishing well, the near enemy, or what is often confused with feeling metta, is a sort of a selfish affection, a romantic type of love, a love that that has borders and definitions. I love you unless we break up. I love you unless you abandon me. Again, that's one of the reasons why it's important to make sure that we're not confusing metta with just love as we understand it in our Western sense of the word. And that metta truly means just wishing well. Goodwill. Allowing metta to just be goodwill and not having to love everything and everyone means that I can have metta for you and not particularly like you. I'm not going to get along with every personality. And even if you've harmed me, this idea of just wishing well or having goodwill toward someone who I don't particularly enjoy being around seems much more of a much sort of seems like an easier hill to climb, as opposed to I'm supposed to unconditionally love everyone. Mudita, if I'm suffering, please don't have mudita for me. Right? Mudita is appreciative joy, is noticing the happiness that someone else is experiencing and feeling joyous because they are feeling so happy. Such a beautiful sentiment. in a way, it's like, you know, one flame lighting another flame, and that, you know, by lighting your flame against mine, or me lighting my flame against yours, it just increases the fire and it does not take anything away. Mudita is a really interesting opportunity to look at the sense of self, or let's call it selfing. If Gene called me and said, "Jordan, I just won the lotto. How amazing is that?" If I'm experiencing it just as my friend Jean is so happy, she won an amazing prize. How wonderful is that? I'm going to experience mudita. I'm going to be so happy that she's happy. The moment that a sense of self is injected into that experience, she has a million, I don't have a million, what about my million? That cuts me off from the blameless joy of mudita. So the last Brahma Vihara, at first glance, doesn't seem to belong to this list of really kind of like lovey-dovey heart experiences. Equanimity, being even keeled. And so when I was first introduced to this teaching, I imagined just, so, you know, you want people to walk around like with like a lobotomy, you know, like not being really affected by anything. I could not understand how equanimity would be packaged with these Brahma Viharas. So far in my practice, equanimity has been the intelligence. And it has been what has allowed my metta practice. It has been what allows my compassion and my appreciative joy to be sort of effective and worthwhile. So if I have metta, in my romantic life, I have been known to pick partners who were not so emotionally available, and being a good codependent, I will love you until you are better. And so that is misunderstanding mudita, or misunderstanding metta, misunderstanding, compassion run wild. It's analogous maybe to like the EMT who arrives at the scene, who out of metta, out of goodwill and compassion, seeing this person suffering, is wanting to do chest compressions and help revive the person. It is equanimity that knows this is when to stop. You're going to cause more harm. Let go what you have no control over. It is equanimity that says, Jordan, as much as I can wish for someone else's happiness, everyone's happiness or unhappiness is a direct result from their own actions or inactions. And that I cannot sort of love someone into being emotionally available and therefore loving me back and giving me a sense of purpose in the world. The heart, metta, compassion, appreciative joy, the heart, those qualities know where they want to go. They're sort of the compass. Equanimity is the sort of intelligence that says, okay, here's the best way to get there. And so I offer this look, this take on the Brahma Viharas as the head and mind learning how to appreciate each one's strength and working together in a way that allows us to achieve what the heart wants with the intelligence and the effectiveness that the wise, trained mind of equanimity allows for. So the mind and heart working together. And so it is 5:56. We have time for maybe a question or comment. Jer?
Hey, thanks, Jordan. That was so great. And the meditation was really beautiful. I have like a little poem thing that summarizes what you said that I heard on Dharma Seed once, and maybe I'll just read it. It should take 1 minute. So it's by two English Dharma teachers named Carolyn Jones and Paul Burroughs, who I don't know, but they wrote this beautiful thing. So it says, metta, the love that connects, is an antidote to all forms of aversion. It is not attachment. If it slides into sentimentality, then karuna brings the heart back into balance. Karuna, the love that responds, is an antidote to cruelty. It is not pity. If it slides into sorrow, mudita brings the heart back into balance. Mudita, the love that celebrates, is an antidote to envy. It is not competitive. If it slides into agitated excitement, upekkha brings the heart back into balance. And upekkha, the love that allows, is the antidote to partiality. It is not indifference. If it slides into disconnection, then metta brings the heart back into balance.
Beautiful. I like that.
All right. And a great way to close out tonight. Terrific. All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We post these videos on our Refuge Recovery website, easy to find in our podcast section, complete with a lovely photo of Mr. Kramer. And so check that out. We've got a lot of good stuff on the website at this point in time. We're really rocking the Simplecast. So it's pretty exciting for us. And thank you. And same time next week, 5 p.m. PST, Wednesday nights, Jordan Kramer in the house. So thank you, everybody. Appreciate you. Have a wonderful
Love y'all. Keep going. Thank you.